On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hold on, baby, because it's gonna...
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Where'd it go? There it is. I see it now. It's over there. I see it's over there now. Where is it now? Where's the show? Oh, there it is. Now it's over there now. I see it now. I see it. Where's the show? Good morning. Welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. The idea of that little ditty, the good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night thing, is you can listen to this show every weekday, but at your own convenience. I don't bother you about this. I'm not constantly on your back sending you emails. Make sure you watch the show. Today on the Today Show, make sure you watch the show. I don't do that. I don't send you email blasts. I don't do things like that. Hi, don't forget to watch the show today. My cousin just died. Why are you doing this to me? No, I don't do that. I don't do that, man. I'm here, and if you want to come see me, come see me. If you don't, have a nice life. It's a whatever kind of life for me. I really
don't. Whatever.
Yeah, I totally don't care. And that's what makes it so alluring. It's like you see like an attractive person of the opposite sex, you know, and you're desperate, you know. Can we go out to dinner Thursday? Oh, I haven't talked to you in a long time. Oh, can we? Oh, you're so beautiful. Oh, I can't believe how beautiful you are. Oh. You sound desperate. You gotta be aloof a little bit. You gotta make it sound like, you know, you don't really care that much, you know? Like, oh, you know, wanna go out to dinner? I mean, I don't really eat, so whatever. I don't really care. You know, if you wanna eat and you wanna go out to dinner, I guess I could go. But otherwise, fuck you. I don't really care, you know, whatever. And, you know, yeah, you're attractive in an attractive kind of way, but so are a lot of other people. But, yeah, you're attractive. Like, you know, like, so what? Like, you know, like you don't stop ships or anything, you know, like, big deal, you know, people aren't crashing cars because they see you walking down the street. As much as you are extremely attractive, like, that's whatever, you know, and your personality, it's nice and stuff. I mean, personality doesn't suck, you know, but sometimes it's great, sometimes it's not. I mean, you're like anybody else. I mean, you know, you're so fine. So if you want to go out to dinner and, you know, and I haven't eaten and you haven't eaten, then, you know, whatever, fine, you know, I don't care, it's just food you're putting in your mouth. Like, why do I have to sit across from you and watch you chew your food? I mean, that's no thrill for me, especially when you have your mouth open half the time. And I'm saying that you do, I'm just saying a lot of people do, and I can, like, eat by myself and get the same experience with you sitting there or not, you know, and I'm not sitting there to have conversation while I'm chewing my food. My God, that's disgusting. I mean, I'll talk to you before or after, but while I'm eating, what's the point of you actually being there? I mean, am I so pathetic that I need to have someone there when I'm eating something? I mean, come on, you know, seriously. I can cut my own meat, you know, I don't need you to cut my meat. So, yeah, if you want to go out to dinner or something, just, like, let me know, but if you don't let me know, I will survive, you know? I mean, I'm still going to walk the earth without you because you're not intricate to everything that lives on the planet or anything. So don't give me that kind of bullshit. So, but I'd like to have dinner with you, but if you don't want to or you can't, not a big deal. seriously. I mean, I will continue to eat and to digest the food that I put in my mouth. I don't need you sitting across from me to digest food. I mean, I don't need to look at people while I'm eating. That's rather pathetic. I'm not Bill Cosby. I'm not demanding you eat curry in front of me. I'm just saying, you know, fine, whatever, you know. If you happen to be in a restaurant and I happen to be in a restaurant, you know, you can sit across from me or you can sit next to me. I'd rather you sit next to me so I don't have to look at you while I'm eating, because seriously, I need to see you. I don't get enjoyment out of food by looking at people while I'm chewing. I mean, it's not a pretty action, human being wise, to watch somebody chew, to see that food tumbling around your mouth like a cement mixer. It's really not necessary to me. To other people, they may be able to, but I don't really care. Do what you want. I really don't.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's seriously it. I mean, you know, whatever is fine. So, you know, whatever. And if you want to go to a movie, we go to a movie, although I don't need to see a movie because you're not intricate to the plot in any way, shape, or form. You're sitting next to me in the dark. I mean, you can't talk to me. You can touch me, I suppose, if you want to touch me, but touching is optional, man. I can still enjoy the movie and not be touched, you know, and it's not like touching me is going to make the movie any better or any worse, really. So you're kind of inconsequential in the movie theater, but if you want to go to them, if you're going to the movies and I'm going to the movies and there are a lot of seats in the movie theater, you might as well sit next to me, although I don't really see the point of that, but it's fine. I guess we can discuss the film after, as long as we don't eat after, because I can't discuss things with you while you're eating. So, whatever, you know, if you're seeing
the whatever.
Movie, yeah, if you're, you know, whatever. And if you want to have sex, you can have sex with me. I'll have sex with you as a result, I suppose. That would be the logical conclusion to that. I mean, if someone's having sex, they're having sex with somebody else, and you're both having the sex, seriously. So I get that on a technical level, on a literally, I get that. And if you want to have sex and, like, we can, I guess, pleasure each other. I mean, if you happen to be pleasuring yourself and you say, oh, I'd kind of rather pleasure somebody else and have somebody pleasure me, then give me a call, I suppose, as long as you still have free anytime minutes on your phone. I mean, give me a call. What the hell? I mean, I'll answer the thing. The damn thing rings. I might as well pick the thing up. I mean, if you don't pick the thing up, it goes to voicemail. That's like a waste of voicemail, as far as I'm concerned. There are kids in starving in the Middle East there who don't have any voicemail left. So I kind of get the importance of having voicemail, and I kind of don't want to screw that up. So whatever. I mean, if you feel like having sex, fine. If you don't have any sex, fine. You know, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. I get that. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Literally. So whatever, you know, I'm here, you know, not doing anything. I mean, I'm not going to pleasure you, I'll pleasure myself. So whatever. I mean, the end result is still going to be there, honey, you know. But if you think it's better to have somebody else do it to you, then I guess I got nothing to do Tuesday, whatever the case may be. But if you don't call, no consequence to me. I've got plenty of books to read. There's plenty of good things on TV. And as I say, I mean, I can take care of myself. I'm a man, and I can do what I want to do, and I can certainly take care of that. It's not like I'm handicapped. My arms still work, and my hand still flexes, so everything's going to be fine as far as that's concerned. And I can clean up my own mess. I don't need you to come over and clean up my mess for me, so everything's going to be good as far as that's concerned. I don't have any smegma going on. There's no smegma going on here, so don't be concerned about that. And it's as simple as that. I mean, everything's going to be fine. So just do what you want to do and don't do what you don't want to do. I totally don't care at all. I got nothing going on, or I could have something going on. So it's whatever happens, happens.
You're listening to Ron Van Dam on Metro South Podcasting. Oi, he's such a mensch. I mean, a nice mensch, don't get me wrong, but still, really, a mensch.
What are you wearing today?
Well, you know, it's a New England area, and as they say, if you don't like the weather, just wait a couple of years. This podcast is being created here. Today's episode number 6,200 and 6,055,203, is like April something. It's April 7th of the year 2015, in the year of your Lord. You know, your Lord here with this date. So I'll tell you something, man. It's supposed to be spring. Spring started like maybe 2 weeks ago at least. I think it was on March 20th that spring began. It's now the 7th of April, so that's like 17 days ago, man. And look at this crap. It's still cold, and the temperatures today are going to be in the low 40s, rain. Tomorrow, they're expecting some wet snow in areas. I mean, I'm kind of wondering if summer will ever exist in the New England area again. I think these air currents have just fucked things up for good. And you start changing your air currents, honey, and you'll be hard pressed to find the old air currents to get them back. Once the air currents move out, they don't want to come back. They've had it, man. You got rid of my air currents. So now we're in some kind of strange weather pattern where something's happening almost every day. If it's not raining, it's snowing. If it's not a hurricane, it's a tornado. I mean, it's just always something. Bird poop. I mean, things coming down from the sky like never before. I don't. It's raining men. Hallelujah, though, huh? Hallelujah. So what do you wear? What do you wear to the bus stop? What do you wear to the bus stop if you don't go to a bus stop? I mean, seriously, what if you have your own car and you never get on a bus? What the hell do you wear then? You know, you watch the morning news shows on television. They tell you what to wear at the bus stop. I mean, what do you wear to the car? What do you wear to the airplane? I mean, I'm serious. People are traveling. What do you wear to the Uber? I don't know what the hell an Uber is. I think it's right below the tibula. I would never share a ride with somebody. I wouldn't share a donut with somebody, much less a ride, my God. I mean, I don't know who I'm getting in the cab with. The person could have AIDS or some type of communicable disease or something, or not communicable disease, or they might have a little shit on their jacket. I don't know. I don't know who I'm sitting next to. It could be a terrorist. Could be a student. Yuck. It could be a yucky student. You know, you don't know where they've been, you know. They go to school. Students are like spies. They're undercover human beings. They go to school. Yeah, I'm going to school to learn. You don't fool me, you little... you're going to school to get fucked up. You're going to school to party, to have your little sexcapades, Disney's sexcapades on ice. I know why you're going to school. You're going to school to socialize and to steal things and to steal goats and things for your quote-unquote team. I know what you're doing. I can see right through you, students. I was a student once. I understand it. Yeah, you're messing with the wrong guy, because I was a student. Yeah, you finally ran into a guy that was a student, huh? Now what do you do? Now what do you say? Yeah, how do you explain that one, sister? How do you explain that one, brother? How do you explain that one, cousin? So what do I wear to the bus stop today? You know what? I ain't going to the bus stop, so that'll just shut you up.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
And now it's time for one of Ron's funny stories. You could practically hear the quotes around funny, couldn't you?
Do 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 do
What is it with people that work in convenience stores? What's up with you? Why do you choose to degregate yourselves? Why is it that everybody that comes to the counter to buy something, whether it be a donut, a scratch ticket, candy bar, whatever you sell in your convenient, quote-unquote, convenience stores, which, by the way, are not all that convenient to me. Why do you call everybody boss? How many bosses do you have? Why that condescending to yourself kind of attitude where these complete strangers come up to buy a candy bar and you consider them to be your boss? What? You're degrading yourself. Why would you do that? Nobody's the boss of me, yet everybody that goes into a convenience store is the boss of you. What is that about? Why don't you just ask me for a raise then? I'm not your boss. Don't call me boss. What does that mean? Am I with the mob? What are you calling me? What are you doing to me? Why are you profiling me? Do I look like I'm the boss of something? Do I look like that I manage a lot of people and I act cocky about it and I'm careless and heartless with my employees? Is that what you're insinuating? Why are you calling me boss? Did I do anything to you? Did I ask you to clean up the storeroom? Did I ask you to wipe down the shelves? Why are you calling me your boss? I don't know you. I didn't hire you. And to be honest with you, if I was your boss, I wouldn't hire you. You're a slob. You have ketchup on your sleeves. I don't like you either. I'm glad you're behind the counter so I can't see you crouch down. If I saw your crotch, I'd probably throw up in whatever I'm buying at the convenience store. Now, I'm not saying that people that work at the convenience stores are horrible people. It's a fine job. You're serving the public like you're serving your country in a way. Some people serve their country. You serve lottery tickets. I mean, I know it's an important job. We all have important jobs. But when you start calling me boss, you become delusional. I'm not your boss. I'm not your friend. I'm your customer. Treat me with respect. Is calling me boss your interpretation of respect? And by the way, I'm not your brother. I'm not your sister either. I'm not related to you. Why are you calling me brother? Because we're all related in the eyes of God? Why are you pushing your religion on me? Are you telling me wouldn't it be great if we all just hugged right now? It'd be better if you just took my money for the candy bar and we called it a day. That would be ideal. So next time I go into a convenience store, you can say thank you for doing business with us. Have a nice day, even though you have no right to tell me what I should be doing. If I want to have a rotten, horrible, disgusting day, that's my business. Don't tell me what to have. That's like saying, thank you for coming, have a ham sandwich. Well, I don't like ham. I think it's too salty. Don't tell me what to eat, and don't tell me what kind of day I should be having. I always respond to that by saying, you too, you have a nice day too, but I don't care. I don't care what happens to you. Those that work behind the counter, I'm saying, and those that to whom I patronize my services. So don't call me boss. Don't tell me what kind of day to have. Don't tell me what kind of sandwich to eat. I'm not your brother. I'm not your sister. I'm not your aunt. I'm not your uncle. Can't borrow money from me. I respect your life. I hope you have a nice one. Well, I don't hope. I'm not getting on my knees at night and praying that you have a wonderful life. It's kind of your business. But thanks for asking.
And that was another funny story from Ron. Wait, That was supposed to be funny? Wow.
You know, I do promote events going on in the area for real. And there's an event going on in Marshfield. Robert Rich is performing a different kind of music. It's happening rather soon. I believe it's like next Tuesday, depending on when you're listening to this show. So get out of the house, man. And there's something, a concert in a church is kind of cool. This isn't a church service. It's not church music. I'm not asking to convert or anything. It's not religious music. It's a quite an accomplished performer actually performing in a church, which is an interesting atmosphere. It's very eclectic music. Here's a little something about it. But get out of the house and go enjoy your performance, will you?
The Other Worlds Concert Series presents ambient music legend Robert Rich in his first ever Boston area performance, Tuesday night, April 14th at Sanctuary Church in Marshfield. Immerse yourself in deep ambient drifts and world music influences in a truly unique concert experience. Tickets are just $15. Reserve yours by calling 781-956-0248. Ambient music legend Robert Rich, Tuesday, April 14th, Sanctuary Church, Marshfield.
Could be pretty cool, ladies and gentlemen. Get out of the house. Go on down there and enjoy yourself, man. Enjoy yourself. There was a story recently that came out. I do a lot of interviews here on this show. We talk to a lot of people, and sometimes they're interesting, sometimes they just downright suck. And I think you know the difference between the two. I do a lot of medical interviews on this show because I believe that what I like to discuss here in my stupid ramblings are the things that we all go through, but we don't really talk about them, but they're just a part of our lives. I'm not really into politics and all that kind of stuff. I'm into the real things that we deal with every day that involve our psyche and our families and our health and eating and dealing with other people and relationships. That's what I'm into, man, because that's stuff we deal with every day, and it can churn us up or it can make us feel wonderful. Story comes out recently, which actually isn't all that recent. Actually, the story goes back like 3-4 years, where it's very, very possible that the cure for cancer exists, or the treatment thereof, to the point where you can live through this disease for a long time. And it involves diseases that we've already had that have killed us, such as AIDS and measles and things like that. Taking those strains and sending them in to specifically attack the cancer cells, the ones that are killing you. So it's like kind of like the United States going into Iraq. It's two enemies just duking it out pretty much. And it's possibly effective. The problem is twofold. One, that the very companies that could be administering this life-saving antidote are also the companies that want to make a lot of money off of you. So if they can get you on life-saving drugs for the rest of your life, it's a bonus for these pharmaceutical companies. And that's what I'm banking on here, because they don't want to cure diseases. They want to treat them. They don't want the disease to go away, because then you won't need their pills anymore. They want you to use their pills on your cells forever. Forever. Apparently, if you introduce certain diseases into the body, and the diseases don't make you feel wonderful, man. They're like injecting the diseases into you, and these things like go after the blood cells, the cells that are causing the cancer, and they kill those specific cells. However, your body is a battleground. You don't feel great, but it's a possibility that cancers could be somewhat arrested, and that would be major. And I'm thinking to that, man, isn't timing everything? Wouldn't it suck if you died of cancer. And a week later, they said, okay, now on the market, here's the Resolve for what you just died from. Oh, timing is everything. But so is health, man. Health is everything, too. And here's the funny part. We all know from what people tell us, doctors tell us, how we can be healthy, but we don't do it. If there's an onion ring, a nice fried, deep fried onion ring, we go for that sucker. All right, it's an onion ring. And we use the excuse, the phrase, you only live once. You only live once. Yeah, you kind of do. And you kind of do. So have the onion ring. Block your arteries. Smoke a pack of cigarettes. I mean, you only live once. Have a bottle of booze every day. You only live once. And it's funny because sometimes you ask these people who are 100 years old, you say, "How? What's your secret to a long life?" And their answers are usually the same. All right, don't worry about it. You only live once. Enjoy yourself. All right, fine. All right, good. All right, fine. Anyway, so, but I continue on my quest to make you aware of things without trying to be too stupid about it. We're going to speak to a doctor right now because doctors are, they're just amazing people. They actually have feet and arms and everything. It's kind of crazy, huh, man? Did you ever meet a doctor? Doctors are something, man. Some doctors are so normal and other doctors are just so aloof. You know, I don't know. Many times people say to themselves, oh my God, I could never be a gynecologist. I mean, how could I be dealing with that part of the body all day and consider it to be pleasure at another time? Yeah, I know. Proctologist. A male proctologist. Ew. Well, depending on your sexual, I don't know, I find that... interesting stuff. That's all I'm saying. I find it to be interesting stuff. You know what? I don't feel like talking to a doctor anymore. It's all I ever seem to do. All right, let's talk about a bone cancer. And I can't even pronounce the thing. I thought it was melanoma, which apparently is a skin cancer. This is different. It's like a bone cancer, but you can actually treat some kinds of bone cancers if they don't get too far. So let's talk about that, and that'll be like my little medical segment for today. Would that be fair? Is that fair? All right.
Are we going to talk about snow?
Unless you have a pill for it, no. And I don't think you do. Okay. Dr. Sagar Lonial joins us now. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. Thank you very much. What part of the country are you in as we speak?
Emory University Winship Cancer Institute in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, I assume there's no snow there.
No snow this year, no.
Okay. Ouch.
You got it all.
Yeah, thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome, by the way.
Okay. Thank you.
Let's talk about multiple melanoma. What is that?
So multiple myeloma is a cancer of cells that live in the bone marrow.
Okay.
And those cells are called plasma cells. And when plasma cells are normal, it's their job to make antibodies. And these mm-hmm. antibodies will protect you when you get a vaccine, like the flu vaccine or tetanus, or when you're a child and you get exposed to bacteria or viruses, mm-hmm. these antibodies will help protect you if you ever get exposed to those again.
Okay.
Now, when plasma cells become cancerous, the problem is that they make too much of this antibody, yeah. and that antibody can sometimes clog up the kidneys, or those plasma cells start growing so much that they crowd out the normal bone marrow, and so your blood counts drop and patients can present with anemia,
uh-huh.
or those plasma cells like to chew holes in bones uh-huh. that can sometimes cause us to see those holes in the bones, and patients can get bone pain with that or even at risk for fractures.
So is this considered a cancer?
Yes.
It is. Okay. All right. Now, are there treatments for it like yesterday? In other words, how has that been treated in the past?
So, you know, the treatment of myeloma has really dramatically changed in the last decade. And a lot of the treatments that have been generated have actually been pioneered by some of your colleagues and friends up at Dana-Farber.
Good friends.
Where we have classes of drugs called Velcade or bortezomib, Revlimid or lenalidomide. And these drugs have really helped us to change the natural history of myeloma for patients in real time. A decade ago, the expected average survival for a myeloma patient was only 3 to 4 years.
Oh.
Now it's between 7 and 10 years. So we've almost doubled that survival. And that's been through access to these great new drugs that we have. More recently, there was a drug approved called Faradac, uh-huh. which may help us to even further improve overall survival for patients by making drugs that we have used in the past work again, by resensitizing patients to drugs that they've seen before. So it's a really important and exciting time in myeloma research.
All right. Okay. All right. So it's not curable, but it's treatable.
Correct. There may be a subset of patients that can be cured of their disease, but in general, one of our goals is to make this like a chronic illness. You're absolutely right.
Okay. And this is Faradac, you're saying?
Correct.
Are most physicians, I assume this is a specialty field, the treatment thereof, are most of them aware of this?
So it is. It will be, when prescribed, it would be prescribed by an oncologist or a hematologist for the right subset of patients who whose myeloma has come back after two different treatments. It's a relatively new drug, so it just came out in the last month or so. So I think there's a learning curve going on right now about who and how to best use it to optimize patient outcome.
All right. So it's gone through the test group stage, obviously, but it's not been released to the public to any great extent.
It's available right now, a doctor can write a prescription for it, but it's, again, very, very new, in the last month.
Okay, all right. Wow, that's kind of exciting, huh? All right, are there multiple therapies used, or does this take the place of prior therapies, in your opinion?
So I don't think it replaces anything. What I think it does is make some of the drugs that we have, because our goal in myeloma is often to use combinations of drugs together to try and overcome drug resistance. And so I think it will add nicely to some of those combinations. I don't think it's necessarily going to replace anything that we have out there.
I understand. Okay. How many people in general actually suffer with this type of diagnosis?
Yeah, in the U.S. in the last year, there were probably about 24,000 to 25,000 patients who were diagnosed with myeloma. If you look at the number of patients across the country that have myeloma at any given time, it's probably over 60,000 to 70,000 patients.
Is there any way to detect it at early stages, or is it one of those diseases that we talk about on the show every once in a while that all of a sudden they just discover it?
Yeah, it's not one like breast cancer or colon cancer where screening can help pick it up early. It will often be picked up in a precursor form called MGUS or smoldering by a routine physical exam and laboratory studies by a primary care physician. But a lot of times those precursor or, you know, preliminary settings don't become myeloma or are just observed.
Okay, and again, this can change the prognosis.
Absolutely, absolutely. For patients, it can offer, this new drug offers a new treatment option for patients, yes.
Excellent. Is there anything else we need to know about it?
No, I think, it's important that patients stay educated about what they can do and how they can participate in their care and, are seen by a center that sees a lot of this cancer. Again, it's not as common as lung or colon or breast cancer. So you want to make sure you've at least got an opinion from someone who does this a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I've always said, and I guess it depends on the kind of coverage, medical coverage you have, but if you're ever diagnosed with anything of a serious ilk, seek out a specialist, the best that you can find, to continue that process, as opposed to, you know, what I'm saying.
Completely agree.
Yeah. And again, where can we go for more information?
So websites, I think, that I recommend for myeloma are the MMRF, or Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation, the IMF, or the International Myeloma Foundation, and the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society website. They have great patient and caregiver education. Great. And then for information on FairDAC, FairDAC.com is probably a good place.
Dr. Lonial, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Great speaking to you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Ain't always easy these days to know what to give your kids for snacks. Sugary this, high fructose that. Heck, even the stuff they call natural ain't always natural. But there's one snack when your kids ask for it, you know exactly what you're giving them.
I want Piggy Parts. I want Piggy Parts.
Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Parts are 100% all natural salt preserved pig parts. What parts, you ask? Well, some folks would call them scraps or ears or hoofs, but kids just call them delicious. And with their stiff, leathery texture, one Professor Parker's preserved piggy part will last a kid all afternoon. That's what we call value. So stock up now for school. You'll find them at the end of the pet food aisle in original barbecue or vinegar, garlic, teriyaki, onion, habanero, pineapple flavor. Give them a try and you'll see why kids say,
That's some good piggies.
Professor Parker's preserved piggy parts.
There's a guitar pick in my pocket and it's longing to get out. But my blue jeans with a tight squeeze when my pick can make a sound. But instead I hear the rantings from my boss when I'm at work. My guitar pick knows my needs should not come first. Love is a simple thing, you keep it.
You know, the Jody Arias case, I believe on Monday, continues. The judge is going to impose the sentence upon Jody Arias, who murdered her boyfriend quite prolifically, stabbed him like 20 times or something, shot him in the head, kind of make sure he was dead, I suppose, is the deal behind that. And Travis was the guy's name. Hung jury. One jurist during the penalty phase said, nah, death penalty, I don't believe in it. And therefore now the judge is going to decide Jody Arias' fate. It's one of the few times that someone, that a female would be put to death or go to death row. Although we all know, and we'll talk about it on some show in the future, when you're on death row, doesn't mean you're going to die. It just means that you're in a different block of cells, kind of. The closing arguments for the Boston Marathon bombing Sarnoff, Lofloff, Plofloff, can't even pronounce his name because I really don't care to. Zohar Sarsharthishish. Well, he'll be found guilty of first degree murder of all those people in the Boston bombing. There's no question about that. I mean, if that's not the case, I will eat your hat. But then I'll go into the death penalty phase with the same jurors. And this is a federal death penalty case. If Sarnoff is found, gets the death penalty, he will be only the fourth. Well, actually, there's about like 19 people on death row right now in a federal sense. Only three people, count them, one, two, three, have been executed because of federal statutes. And in other words, federal courts of law sent to death row. Only three of them have actually been executed. Just three. Three. So the chances of, chances of you actually being executed when you're on death row are kind of slim. But you're spending your life in jail anyway, with kind of no possibility of parole, obviously, if you're on death row. So, yeah, whatever. Yeah, another lively, fun topic. We'll talk about that. Do you ever sit down and say to yourself, how do I really feel about the death penalty? Do I really think that people should be put to death? Is it a religious situation for you? Is it a moral situation for you? Are you an angry person who wants everybody who does terrible things to be removed from your sight? That's me. We'll discuss that on shows to come. Shows of future past. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, I take leave from you. I shall hang up the microphone for another day, and I'll be back tomorrow. By the way, tomorrow, oh, what a wonderful show it will be. Victoria Wainwright joins us tomorrow on the program, and we're going to wrestle some topics. We're going to do some mixed wrestling of topics. By the way, you can see Tori and myself actually do the radio thing. I am planning in about a month's time to videocast these programs so you can watch them. Why you would want to, I have no idea. But I think that will be available soon. Available now, and has been for quite a few months now, Tori and I do a cable program where we do the radio show on TV. And you can go to Google ECAT, E-C-A-T, E-C-A-T, and when you get there, look for the Ron Van Dam Show, and just find the category that says watch us, and you'll be able to watch Tori and myself do the radio show, or a version of it on television. All things that will definitely embedder your life to the nth degree. Yeah, right. Ladies and gentlemen, with the utmost sincerity, more sincerity than I could possibly muster, I do wish you peace. And that means the show is over. So, like, when the last note plays from this, like, closing theme thing, by the way, the performing of this closing piece is Procol Harum, then you may leave and go about your business. Thanks for listening, boss.